Speaking of Las Vegas, a little segue here. You know who's from Vegas?
No.
Bryce Harper's from Vegas.
I did know that.
Yeah. You know where he's playing baseball right now?
Nobody seems to.
Nowhere.
Maybe Tim Kirkjian knows.
Maybe Tim Kirkjian does know. Tim Kirkjian from ESPN joins us now. Tim, thanks for joining us.
How you doing? And I don't know.
Well, where is Bryce Harper? What's he doing?
Well, as far as I know, he's back in Las Vegas waiting for a good offer to come along, or at least a better offer than what he has gotten to this point. This is becoming a major issue now around baseball, that more and more players are speaking up about what is going on here. And even though I don't believe this is collusion, I covered collusion in the late 80s when Andre Dawson just said, here's a blank contract. I'll just fill it out. I'll play for whatever you put down. That's not this. But this is a sea change, and we had all better get used to the fact that the way free agency used to be done, I just don't think it's going to be done that way anytime soon.
So, Tim, I mean, we're just starting to get the coverage of spring training going here, but we've already heard from a handful of players. We heard Justin Verlander, obviously one of the best pitchers in the game, say that the free agency process in this game is broken. I mean, is that a fair statement, or how fair is the fact that Verlander's calling it a broken system?
Well, it's not a good situation that we have now. That's fairly obvious when over 100 free agents are still out there, and including arguably two of the top 10 players in the game, and they can't find a job, or they're just not willing to accept what they think is a low of an offer. But Verlander makes a good point. There are a lot of players in baseball that feel the same way, but I think, again, we have to get used to the fact that the new people running the game today, not just the owners, but these brilliant, young, remorseless, relentless general managers who have a value system for these players that they have devised in great part due to sabermetrics. And if you don't fit into their value box, they're not going to pay you. And that's what I think we all need to be aware of. We saw it change last year. But I thought it, at least, would there would be two exceptions this year, Machado and Harper, and so far, they are not even the exceptions, even at their track record and their age.
We're talking to Tim Kirkjian from ESPN, their Major League Baseball analyst.
Hey, Tim, so, reading a lot of the stuff that's coming out of baseball these days, there's also people pointing to the luxury tax. Now, everybody says, baseball doesn't have a salary cap, but how influential is the fact that there is this luxury tax threshold of $206 million, and it seems to be dissuading teams from spending, at least spending right now?
Well, there's no doubt the luxury tax is a very viable part of the owner's thinking today. It's not a hard cap like people say, but nobody wants to pay an extra tax unless they absolutely have to. And it's amazing how far under the luxury tax a bunch of teams are right now. 50, 40, 80, $100 million under the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise to me is that our bigger market teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers, even they are saying, we're going to try to stay under that also. So does that work as a cap? Well, to some degree, it does. But again, this is part of the new economics of baseball, that these teams and these young general managers are just saying, just because something was done a certain way 5 years ago doesn't mean that we have to do that today. If we determine that those deals made 5 years ago were mistakes, it's not up to us to repeat a mistake.
Tim, the Blue Jays have a lot of excitement around them this year for spring training because of Vladimir Guerrero primarily. Is that excitement shared around baseball? Is he as viewed as much of a phenom around baseball as he is here in Toronto?
Yes. Everyone wants to see Vlad Guerrero play, including me. And when I say see him play, I mean see him play on the major league level with a big league club. That we all can't wait. I mean, this is
you're going to have to wait, by the way.
Right. Yes, we're going to have to wait a little while. But when he gets here, he's never going back, and he will dazzle us for 10 to 15 years. That's how good I think he's going to be. But this is, again, part of the new economics. Teams look at him and say, well, if we delay his time in the big leagues, we can keep him longer. It is a backhanded compliment up to the fans saying, we want him to keep him here for you longer. And the best way to do that is to delay his start of his major league career. Part of me hates that. Part of me understands it. But everyone should understand this is realistic baseball in 2019.
Hey, Tim, you know, Gordon and I were just talking about that service time manipulation that teams partake in. Have you seen that cause animosity between a player and a team at any point?
Well, sure. I mean, I think Chris Bryant, he would never come out publicly and say anything like that. But I know behind the scenes that the players are muttering about service time manipulation, and now they're muttering about free agency. Their thinking has always been, okay, you can get me at the beginning of my career, but once I get the hammer in arbitration, and especially in free agency, that's when it's my time. But yet, the last 2 years are now proving that being a free agent may not be my time for the players. So, yes, I think the grumbling is going to continue, and it could lead to some really tricky situations around work stoppages and labor agreements.
Tim, one of the topics of conversation, especially early in the year last year, was that baseball wasn't as exciting as it's been. That the games were becoming, the number of, we weren't seeing as many hits. We were seeing a hit every 12 minutes,
yeah,
on average in a Major League Baseball game. There were some ideas about, making the DH universal, even making a minimum number of batters that a reliever has to face. What do you think of that?
I'm all for getting some dead time out of the game. However, if you are going to mess with the fabric of the game, I'm going to stand up and say, no, that's enough. I'm not in favor of putting a runner at second base to start the 10th inning of a tie game. I'm not in favor of that. I am in favor of a pitch clock. But given all the issues that we have right now with free agency, salaries, roster manipulation, service time manipulation, the players are really not interested right now in fixing the pace of play. They're interested in fixing the economics of the game. So my guess is a lot of these pace of play things are going to be put over to the side while the Players Association says we have to save our game financially or our players financially, and we can't be messing around with a pitch clock for our pitchers.
Right. Well, Tim, I guess the current collective bargaining agreement between the players and Major League Baseball, it runs through December of 2021. All right? So are you sort of seeing the idea that, we could be in the lead up to some sort of a labor strife between the players and the league?
Yeah, and I think it's certainly something we all have to be concerned about. I mean, I covered the 81 strike. That's how far I go back.
That was a good one, too.
That was the worst thing I've ever covered. It's the worst thing I've ever been a part of. It was awful. And the one in the 90s was terrible, too. So we can't have another one of those. Baseball rebounds every time from these things, but I'm not sure this is the environment to rebound, and this is why I'm mildly encouraged that at least both sides are talking about issues right now, because I think they're going to have to talk about them consistently and constantly from now until December 2021 to make sure we don't have a work stoppage.
All right, Tim, a couple of quick ones for you here before we let you go. Number one, some of the computer models are putting the Blue Jays over-under for wins on the season at 78. Are you taking the over or the under?
I'm going to go under, but just barely. I think they're a 75 to 80 win team for me. That's about as far as I'll go with them. So I'll say they're going to win 76, 77 games.
All right. And on opening day, Bryce Harper will be where?
Again, a total guess, even though we're over 3 months into this. I think he's going to be on the Phillies, and I say that with very little confidence because I simply don't know, and it's driving all of us crazy as we chase this thing around. without getting any concrete evidence on what's happening.
How many times a day do you get asked about it?
Every day. I mean, multiple times every day. And we're all tired of it. I'm sure Bryce Harper is more tired of it than anyone. But it's time to turn the page and get him and Machado signed, and let's move ahead.
All right, Tim, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, guys, see ya.
Thanks. Tim Kirkton, the ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, who's been covering the game for a long time. It really is a different landscape.